with you today, if you turn with us, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, then you'll be finding Luke's Gospel chapter number 15. We'll not have service here tonight, taking time off, give you time with your families this evening, but we do want to mind the Lord this morning and take the time that we need to worship God and hear from the Word of God. Found over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, Paul here is writing about ministers and ministry. He said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yeah, I judge not mine own self." He said in verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come." Watch this. "He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness." A lot of folks are going to be amazed that day what they find out. "He'll bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts." In other words, He's going to reveal the hearts. You know, as Samuel went to anoint David, Samuel wanted to anoint the firstborn of Jesse, for he was a spectacle to look at. The Spirit of God told the old prophet Samuel, He said, "That's not him," and he said, "Is there any more?" And then you remember, there he talked to David's daddy, Jesse. He said, "I have one child left. He's keeping the flock." And then the Bible teaches us in 1 Samuel 15:16 there that God don't look on the outside of the stature, but God looks on the heart. Be careful to never judge anybody about what you see, because we really don't know what's in their heart. A lot of people say they're saved, but we don't know what's in their heart. And so he said, don't judge anything. God will bring to light the hidden things. Then he says, verse 7, "Who make thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst not receive it." In other words, he said, I don't know what you glorying about anything. Everything you've got, God's give it to you. He said, "Why dost thou glory as thou hast not received it?" Then he said, verse 9, "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last as we were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle in the world, and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even this present hour, we both hunger, thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat it. We're made filth of the world and are the offscorn of all things in this day. I write now these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." You may be seated this morning. Be finding now Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, please. I'd like to preach out of that passage this morning. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for this time together. Lord, this special day, we thank you, Lord, it's been set aside, and God, we realize that you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to the child of God. Now, Lord, I pray that you let preaching be easy a few moments. These families that are struggling, God, with troubles, I pray that you would help them. I pray, oh God, you'd prove yourself to them in these days. Help us now in the Word of God this morning. I'm a needy preacher. I pray, oh God, you'd help me today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Paul was one of the greatest preachers God had ever called to preach. And within my reading, you'll see in verse 15, he said, For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. There's been a lot of men that have been father figures in my life. I had an earthly dad that moved on to heaven around 20 years ago. But since then, God has allowed my paths to cross with some godly men. They've had a lot of father figure influence over my life. That's what's so unique about God and the church. God will put people in your life that will affect you and bless you. And Paul says, you know, we have thousands of instructors, but we don't have many fathers. So to Paul, he was realizing that God was the Father of all, and we know the Bible teaches us that God is the Father of all, but I think maybe Paul was thinking about how good the Father had been to him. Therefore, God in His goodness has allowed other fathers to cross your path and influence your life. I wonder how many people that's not your earthly father, but they are a father figure to you. If there's ever been a generation that need men, well, they'll show themselves being a man is in this day and this hour. There's many youngsters that don't have fathers of the faith, but God may allow you to impact and imprint their life. And Paul says there's a lot of instructors, but there's not many fathers. But you know, Brother Lee, those fathers of the faith that have impacted me, I'm so thankful. And as I begin to try to list them, I would run out of paper shortly because God has been so good to me to put many father figures in my life. I can think, coming up as a kid, I had a grandpa that practically raised me. I love that old man of God. He's a simple man. He had never been past the second grade. He wrote his letters in boxcar letters. Couldn't even hardly spell, but he did know what end of the mule to walk behind. Amen. He had a lot of common sense. And so he loved me and had seen about me. And then I had a generation of uncles that they invested in my life. Soon later, I left everything that I knew and I moved and met Renee. Her dad became a father figure in my life. He very much impacted me. Brother Mike, when I got saved, a guy in the local church, God began to put older men of God in my life that impacted me. And men in the pews, I thought about Brother John. I was in a motel this week and I carry outlines with me, Brother Adam. I was going through some outlines to preach, and I found that funeral sermon that I preached on Brother John D. Weathers that morning. It was there in my Bible, and I looked at them notes before I preached that sermon. I got to thinking how impactful Brother John Weathers was in my life. I remember that morning here, before we'd ever added on any addition on the old church. It was just one straight building. I was sitting over there in the chair, and that morning Brother John D. got up and he walked over to me, and this is what he said. His word was pastor. He was one of our good godly deacons here. And he leaned over that chair, and this is what he said, "Pastor, can I do anything for you this week?" And I remember, Renee, we was building our cabin in Wedowee at that time, and John had come to visit me. He walked in, I was up there nailing by myself, and he opened the door, Brother Adam, and I heard him say, "Pastor." I knew who he was, but when he left my chair that morning, he sat on this second bench. I was sitting there, and Sunday school had started, and so I think it was Brother David, probably, or Brother Tim up leading a song, and I looked, and Brother John fell over in the aisle, and he met God here that morning. John, Brother John Weathers crossed the river here. What a great place to cross the river at. Brother John impacted me as a young preacher to try to help me. And there's been many of you that God has scattered in my life to help me. And I'm thankful that we have many instructors in Christ, but we don't have many fathers. And the men that have really impacted you and have have really impressed you in your life, you ought to thank God for that influence of how that God's thought enough of you to put those type of people in your life. And so here, as Paul was writing, I got to thinking out of Luke 15, the God that Paul knew about, and let's take a look at Him this morning, and we pick up now at the Father's house in Luke 15, and I pinned some things down there at my desk this morning as the choir was singing, as this thing started moving in my heart. You know the story, the Bible said in Luke 15, verse 11, and He said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living or loose living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain, or he would gladly, have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I will arise, and I'll go to my father. And I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This morning, these thoughts from the Father's house were, Paul had said, we have thousands of instructors in Christ, but we don't have many fathers. That's true in our country. We need men to be men in this day and this hour. We need father figures in our churches that we would impact those that have not a father that walks in their life. Here you'll notice something very unique about God the Father. Matter of fact, He's the greatest Father. He's not only the shepherd, He's the great shepherd. He's the I Am. He still is this morning. And so here you'll see in verse number 11, there was a life that was being lived at the Father's house. Notice what the Bible said. And he said there was a certain man that had two sons. Now, there was a mother in the story. We don't know where she was. We don't know if she was living. But we do know that there was a mother involved. How do you know that? Because there were sons involved. Without a father and a mother, there are no children. Amen. And so therefore, we see this living at the Father's house, this life. And so you'll notice there was great blessings there. Many of us, we've lived in the Father's house, and we've realized the great blessings of how that the Father's house has bestowed upon us. You say, well, preacher, I don't have much. I was reading after a man of God this week, and he simply said, you know, I was complaining about my socks and my shoes until I looked at a man down the road that didn't have any feet. Now, I want to say something. God has been good to us this morning. And so there's the life at the Father's house. We see the life of blessing. There's nothing like being in the family of God. I'm thankful I had a good home life as a child. I had a country mom and daddy that loved me, brought me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm glad that I was raised in a house where there was blessings. But then you'll notice, not only was there the life at the father's house. But in verse 13, I think Paul was writing, and he was talking in Corinthians about many fathers. Here we know Luke is writing, and he shows us not only the life at the father's house, but what about the leaving of the father's house? I thought about this today in verse 13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. You see, in this leaving, this affected the father because it was the baby at the father's house. He was the younger of them. And then not only was there the baby that was at that father's house that was leaving, but a lot of people don't realize this. My wife said today about getting ready, Brother Ricky Atkinson sings a song about the father. And not only do we see here this baby, but now we see this burden. I wonder how the father felt when his son left. I wonder how we grieve the heart of God when we leave the father's house. I wonder how we affect his heart the way we live, the way we act, and the way that we do. We know, the Bible says, that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And so a lot of times we see this parallel at the father's house. There was a leaving, that it was his baby, it was his burden. You know, life is hard, isn't it? There are a lot of burdens in life. But can you imagine how many times that we hurt the heart of God when we leave the principles that He has taught us from the Father's house? And so, not only was there a life and a leaving, but there was a learning in verse 14. The Bible said when he spent all, and it didn't take him long to spend what he had. And it won't take you long either if you leave the Father's house. It won't take you long to spend everything you've got, because you see, where your blessings come from is from the Father's house. You may think, well, I've got enough to do me for a lifetime. If you walk away from God, it won't take you long, friend. It'll all be gone. And so there was the leaving. There was a learning. The Bible said that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have gladly filled his belly, or fain would fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. Verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Not only do we find here that there was a learning, he came to himself. You've heard me preach several times. The greatest day in your life is when you find out who you are. It's a great day to find out who you are when you don't have God with you. And so here in this learning, there became a longing. In verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father. Well, guess what, folks? Everything that he was looking for was back at the father's house. Isn't that amazing? The devil will paint you pretty pictures and get you way out there. But there's a longing inside of us that will only be fulfilled at the father's house. And so everything he was missing, the father had it. And can I tell you today, everything's missing in your life, the Father has it. Every longing you have, the Father has it. And so here we see, not only is there a longing, but in verse 20, I'm glad there was a looking. The Bible said he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I think the father was looking for him. I think he was looking that way. I think, well, you know, he left out on that road. And I'm believing he's going to come back down that road. This week I seen something miraculous. Monday night we was in an old tabernacle up in the mountains preaching. We gave an invitation after the preaching, and it was a man come and he fell in the altar. Rough looking fella. He stayed there a good bit, and so after the service he left, and Tuesday night, he came back to the meeting. Wednesday night, he came. He'd come see me after preaching. He'd speak to me. Thursday, he came. Friday night, I couldn't find him. And I looked around in the men's prayer circle, and one of the older men punched me and said, "Preacher, you see that man sitting out yonder? That's the man that come in the altar Monday night." I looked, and he didn't look like the same person. His hair was cut. His beard was trimmed up. So he come running to me after service Friday night, and he said, "Preacher, God is working in my life." He said, "I was in church as a young man, but I got out and I become a drunkard. But," he said, "God's given me help here this week." He said, "I'll be at our church Sunday morning." You see, everything that he was looking for out yonder, he couldn't find it. But God had it at the Father's house. Do y'all understand that this morning? You may seem like you don't have a lot, but when you lose it all, what you got would be a whole lot. So I close with this thought. I want Brother Tim, Miss Henry to come. Brother Tim, I want you to sing. If you want to sing that fountain you sung earlier, whatever. But I do want to mind the Lord right here. Now, there was a looking from the Father's house, but this is what I want you to always remember. There was a loving at the Father's house. The Father received him, didn't he? He kissed him. They had a celebration. I'm glad we've got a Father today that's not only looking, but He's loving. He loves you. And He loves me. And we have many instructors in life, but not many fathers. When I read that text, it's touched some of you. The reason I know that is because the Holy Ghost told me to read that this morning before I went to Luke 15. God has put people in your life that has influenced you, and you ought to thank God for that this morning. Paul said it, we've got a lot of instructors, but we don't have many fathers. And could I tell you, young men today, there's a lot of folks with knowledge and education, but your family needs a father. Your family needs somebody that will lead them, bring them to the house of God, and raise that family to know God. Now, as y'all come get ready to sing, Brother Tim, I want to say this. Think about the Father's home. I'm glad the Father has a home. And it's wonderful. Are you one of His children? Have you ever trusted Jesus to be your Savior? Because the Father's home is wonderful. The Father's heritage. It's amazing. Jesus walked through this world over 2,000 years ago, and the people He's impacted. What a heritage. What a heritage the child of God has because of the love of the Father. What a heritage. All across this country, what a heritage that one man walked in this world, got up on a cross and died. Look how He's impacted this world. Jesus saves. All because the love of the Father wanted to give you a place. Are you saved? The Father's home, the Father's heritage. Brother Mike said this in prayer room, the Father's help. Oh, how many times, Brother Tim, I've needed help. God showed me help. there's hope at the Father's house. You know what a man told me Monday night when that man got up out of the altar? He's 80-something years old. He grabbed his arm around me and he said, "Preacher, what you don't know, man, this boy's mama's been praying for years and years and years. There's hope. There's hope. Don't give up on hope. Wayward children, wayward lives, there's hope. The Father's house."